We drive it every Sunday. It's an hour.
How far is it from Kane?
What's that?
Yep.
From Kane?
Good morning.
About 15 minutes or
something. 10, 15 minutes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we was talking about the Bible conference and stuff. I'll fill you in a little bit earlier for that. We talked about prayer requests and praise items. And the saints here are doing well. And they've got smiles on their faces. And they're excited that we have another day of grace. And if you're tuning in to our website or YouTube channel, we thank you for doing that. And let's go to word and prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things given us. And we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on us through your Son, Christ Jesus. And as we have the inherent word of God, and as we think about the studies and the prayer requests and the praise items that we have, we want to be thankful for you most of all. But we're thankful for this place. We're thankful for the saints that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing in a red book, 447, Lily of the Valley. Who's the Lily of the Valley?
Jesus Christ.
Lily of the Valley. 447. Sing all three. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's almost Easter time, right? That's a good Easter hymn.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He can take every care on him to roll. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Number two.
He's all my graces taken and all my sorrows born. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty town. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Oh, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Number three.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live my faith and do his blessed will. Sweeping up in glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good song. Yeah. Yeah, we might have to practice that a little bit more. Tom asked me, we're not going to sing Seated in Heavenly Places. He said, he's about got that down. But no, once again, we thank you for tuning in. I mentioned about the conference it's coming up. If you have not made your reservations yet for staying there, please do, though. You can call the Salt Fork Lodge. I will have our message titles and stuff like that coming up on the website and stuff. So if you have, you can see it on our website, www.dispensationbiblechurch.org, or you can go to ohiograceministries.org and see that. Now, many people's asked, are we going to stream it? As far as the Wi-Fi and stuff is good, yes. We'll do live streaming on that, and you'll be able to see that on our YouTube channel or and/or ohiograceministries.org. So anyway, we're in lesson 43, and as we continue the message through the Bible, we just finished up with Hebrews, just talked a little bit about Hebrews, and then you got to remember the issue of Hebrews is becoming a part of the house that Jesus Christ is building, and that is the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. Hebrews is doctrine to the kingdom saints over here, and they're going to have to use that book, the Hebrews book, to understand what's going on in this dispensation right here, or this ages to come, because if you're living in this time period prophecy right here, the kingdom gossip is going to be talked about, the kingdom is going to be established, and somebody's teaching you about Pauline truths and a grace message, what would be wrong there?
It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, wouldn't it? And so think about that for a second. You think there'd possibly be people over telling you, hey, Paul said this. Paul said not to worry about who's coming down. He's going to tell you this. They're going to do everything they can to water down the gospel of the kingdom. Think about what I just mentioned. We're in the dispensation of grace. What should be taught? The kingdom gospel, right?
No.
Grace.
The grace gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. So are there people out there actually teaching in the kingdom gospel right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people out there actually teaching you out of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mm-hmm. what to do, you got to do it, Jesus did it. Mm-hmm. You know what gets me on that right there is that they could not do that. The things that they're trying to tell you to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the people Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't do it. So what makes you think you can do it? Oh, you're more spiritual, right? You walk through. No, you're no different than they were. So the thing is, when you got the Holy Spirit in front of you, listen, I believe at any time in God's messages, he had a plan how you could be saved. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile. He always had a way for salvation.
Amen.
Okay? And then you have to open up your eyes to understanding, like they did, to understand the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding what God was doing there to understand how to be saved. We're just not finished up, but we looked at briefly the book of Hebrews for doctrine over here. Then the book of James. You're in James chapter 1, right? James chapter 1. Now there's how many epistles, Hebrews epistles? We call these Hebrew epistles. How many are they?
13.
Hebrews epistles?
Nine.
Paul writes nine. Okay? Over here is nine. So James chapter 1. James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the body of Christ, which are in the dispensation of grace.
No, preacher.
Greetings. What does it say, guys?
12 tribes.
To the 12 tribes are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Now, the brethren of those of the 12 tribes, where are they at?
All over the place.
They're scattered abroad. Now, many people say, and about who those believers were. You think they were Christian Jews?
We called them brethren.
Okay. Where do they call brethren at in that verse? Oh, my brethren, yeah. You think they're Christian? My Bible, the God put this Bible, it says they're Christian Jews. But but many of you didn't agree or disagree. Now, hang on a minute. James is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting my brethren. Okay? So they're not lost people. But are they Christian Jews?
Saved under the kingdom program.
Yeah.
But are they Christian Jews?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we are understand. There are Jews.
Sure.
Okay, and who are the 12 tribes scattered abroad?
Jews.
blamed the Jews. They were never called, they never were, excuse me, never were Christian Jews among the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So there's a lot of error out there. So that's how they draw you in to say James is to you. Because you're a Christian, that type of thing. The disciples was never called Christians until what point in Acts? You remember where was they at? Where was it called? Where was they first called Christians at?
Antioch.
Okay. Now where was that? What do we know about Antioch?
Paul comes from there, didn't he?
Okay, that's where we get our marching orders from. Okay, you had Jerusalem, you had Antioch. You also had Egypt, Alexandria, and all that stuff in Antioch. That not in Jerusalem, but in Antioch. It's Acts chapter 11, verse 23, if you're looking at that. No one in a Pentecostal church in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 were ever called Christians. No one in a Jerusalem church in Acts chapters 1 through 28 were ever called Christians. They did not even use that word. But we use it, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about this country was formed on what? Judea and Christian values, right? And I guess that's a good thing, right? Could be, yeah. And but it did not come until Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when God gave it to the disciples in Antioch, who were under the ministry of Peter and 11, right? No, it was under who? Paul. And that was something new that began. The book says it was written to 12 tribes of Israel. It was written to them. Then the middle wall, a petition. Is it up or down?
It goes back.
It goes back up.
It's come, it's up.
See, right now, in the dispensation of grace, there is no middle wall petition between Jew and Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
There is no commandments or ordinances that we're supposed to be under. So if he's writing to 12 tribes that scattered abroad over here, guess what goes back up?
The wall.
The wall goes back up. And it is written to them indistinctly from everywhere else. Think about this for a minute. Grip Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2. There's a distinction there, and if James is writing to Christians, you ever hear that battle between James versus Paul? And what did Martin Luther say about the book of James?
He would
throw it out, he would take it out and burn it like straw. Now, why would you do that? In your thinking right now, why would you take that book out and say,
didn't know how to write it, did I?
Because it speaks the opposite of what Paul's epistles do.
Well,
it goes back.
The key word that he didn't write, divide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay? And James, we're going to find out something about James for a little bit. James wrote this epistles, and one of them says, what does it say about whoever should keep the whole law and yet offend one point is guilty in how many?
All
of it. What Paul say about the law?
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Why would you go back to the beggarly elements of that? So when you think about James, I did a message once in Chicago, James versus Paul, and about them, did they agree? Did they agree? Did James and Paul agree? You know, Paul says Abraham by faith and that type of thing. And you're like, and the outcome of the message was they did agree. They agreed who they was going to serve their God, okay? And they wrote different epistles. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, well, I'm going to beat you up, but where did I tell you to go? Acts 15. Acts 15. A certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Where's Acts 15 at? Is that before Acts 9?
After.
After.
Okay, is it, okay, it's after, okay, here's some people coming in. It says, when, wherefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and a certain other of them shall go up to where?
Jerusalem,
unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, no small
dissension.
You know what they did?
They argued about it.
Probably argued night and day about this. And no. Well, no, God told us, but God's doing this. But who are you? That type of thing. Many of us has been in those all night battles and stuff like that, and you know, and all that. And then we disagree to disagree. That's an easy way out. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
He says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through fence and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But they rose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and commanded them to keep of the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for this, to consider this matter. Now, think about this for a second. You see much of that going on today? Hey, when you share the gospel of the grace of God to people, and they come to understanding that they was a sinner, and they come to understanding that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again, and they did that by faith, and then all of a sudden, next week they say, I'm going to get baptized. You don't hear them say, I'm going to get circumcised. But you know, you say, baptized, and you're like, who told you that? You ever done that? I have. And you're like, well, Aunt so-and-so and my friends told me now I got to get back. That's almost the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said they don't care about these Judaizers, and they're not saved Judaizers in a way. These Judaizers, they would come up and say, hey, it's okay that you trust Christ died for your sins, but you got to be circumcised. See what's going on there? So let me ask you this. What was the issue right there? What was the issue that they heard or hear? What was the issue that we just raised?
Circumcision
there's
for salvation.
Works involved.
Not only works, but what's the issue?
Circumcision.
Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be
saved.
Now this is Acts 15, guys. Mm-hmm. Paul's already out there, you know, establishing churches on faith plus nothing else. This is serious. And he brings up whose name?
Moses.
Moses' name. Moses is a big to-do. So, and where did they go to settle this?
Jerusalem.
What's in Jerusalem?
12. The leaders of the church.
The leader of church.
Okay. But
the 12.
But did they already know about what was revealed to Paul, or were they just finding out from Paul right now? Yeah, because if you didn't have telegraphs back then.
No, but he's establishing church. It's like that's what I just got to sharing. If you share the gospel of the grace of God unadulterated, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing else, who's coming in like, hey, yeah, we heard you go. Did you get circumcised?
And
you know, they're adding to it.
Well, don't you think that the terminology certain men, and then when you go up to verse 5,
they're leaders.
Who's the certain man?
Yeah, but check this out. Should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question? They know who to go to. Hey, when Paul went to Ephesus, I think it's Acts 19, he found certain disciples there that knew only the baptism of who?
John.
So what does that tell you? They was there, John's baptism. He said, did you receive the Holy Ghost? You know, well, you don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost.
They need to get re-educated.
Okay. And I just had Siri talk to my ears. And to do that, you had to turn off the airplane playing mode. I'm like, whatever you want to do. But anyway, what I'm getting at is they only knew certain things. And when Paul went to Ephesus, the only thing those disciples knew is baptism of John. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. So what did Paul do? He taught them. He said, hey, John verily baptized indeed with water, saying, believe on one that comes after me. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul didn't rebaptize these people. Mm-hmm. Like, these people wanted to get these guys circumcised or they couldn't be saved. So where did they go? And who was in Jerusalem? Not only 12. Go to Galatians chapter 2. The 12, why would they be in Jerusalem, by the way? Why didn't they go throughout the whole world like the Great Commission told them to do?
Because they took their message to the saints of Israel, the little flock.
One went to the Jews and the other went to the...
No, wait. If God told them, God Jesus Christ told them with the Great Commission, go ye in all the world and share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't they out in all the world?
Because they heard the world of Jews.
What?
When they persecuted, that was there.
The great persecution came down, and what happened?
Scattered.
They came back. Hey, if God, this is the city of God, God's coming back to Jerusalem. I'm staying right here. You know? So, Galatians chapter 2. They're in Jerusalem in Acts 15. And that's why I say if you, Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2, what we're getting ready to look at, goes hand in hand, guys. If you want to know what they taught and preached, what do we talk about Acts? We'll go through, we're going to study the book of Acts, you know, in the future. Lord willing, creek don't rise. But chapter 2, verse 1. You already know what chapter 1, verse 10 says. For I do not persuade men, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of who?
Christ.
That should be every one of us. You want to please the one who died for you.
Amen.
You don't please your preacher, your bishop, your elders, all, you know, that type of, you please the one who died for you. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. What man would that be?
The religious leaders.
I would say Peter, James, and John. You know, I would say the 12. Wouldn't they be teaching you some things? It's not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
He got all his teaching from the glorified risen Lord and Savior, not on this earth. And he says, for you have heard of my conversation time past in the Jew religion, how I beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited. We was just talking about profit a little while ago, right? Mm-hmm. There's money to be made in religion. And Paul says, I profited in Jews' religion above many of my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous in tradition of my fathers. He's beating his chest. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin, Pharisees. I was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught the best. And he was rising up through that religion, profiting off of them. You don't see that going on today. And prophet and Jews, he says, but it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You know who the mother's womb is there?
Jews.
Israel. It's Israel. It's not his mother that birthed him. It's Israel. It pleased God. He separated. You're going. To reveal his son to me that I might preach of him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with what?
Flesh and blood.
Immediately he did not run over on the road to Damascus and go over James, Peter, and John, Josephus, and John and say, look what God's doing for, he's changing. No, he went straight to the heathen, the ungodly.
He says, neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them were apostles before me. Okay, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to go to chapter 2. The 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem and with Barnabas and took Titus with me, 14 years, 3 years went by. Almost 17 years when it's all said and done, he goes to Jerusalem. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he's meeting with them privately. He's not going to take them out in a courtyard and say, you're doing this wrong and I'm doing this. They're not doing it privately, right? But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be what?
Circumcised.
Now, what is Acts 15 talking about?
You must be circumcised.
Unless you're circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what does Paul do?
He brings Titus.
He brings a Greek that without circumcised. You know what that probably did to that crowd in there? Getting ready to find out. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto what?
Bondage.
They're looking in the windows. False brethren, they got to be circumcised. They're not saved. You don't know, listen, the world ain't full of those people today.
Mm.
Everybody's walking down the same road going to the same churches, right? Wrong. Yeah. There's false brethren out there, guys, and I think you know that. And he says, but what they want to do, they want to take their liberty mm-hmm. and bring them back into
bondage.
What does that law do in times past? Hey, in ages to come, it's not going to be bondage. There's a new law over here. The law of Christ, it's already been fulfilled. That's the Mosaic law that pointed to this law, the Messianic law. Then he says, to whom we gave subjection. Oh, we talked to him about an hour and a half. We had some tea and cookies and cakes and pork and sausage and eggs. Is that what it says?
Mm-mm.
It says, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. They're staying the course. But of these who seem to be somewhat, I'm scratching my head about that, who seem to be somewhat.
That's whatever they were.
It make no matter to me. God accepts no man persons.
Mm-hmm.
For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what?
Nothing.
You can sit there and talk to blue in your face. You're not going to add nothing to me. You know, I feel the same way sometimes with this gospel and this doctrine. You can help me understand more, but if you try to pull me away from this doctrine that Paul wrote, God through Paul established for the body of Christ, I'm not going to give you 1 hour. Now, I need to be kind to you. You know, sometimes that's tough. You're sitting there biting your tongue because I want to share what I want to share with you. But anyway, he added what?
Nothing.
But contrarywise, au contraire, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty to me towards
the Gentiles.
Hey, what does that mean? Who's doing the work? Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's going to work in you the same way it's going to work in that kingdom Jew. It's the same Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when James, Cephas, you know who that is? Peter. And John, who seem to be pillars. That's another thing I'm scratching my head on. You're either a pillar or you're not a pillar. Who seem to be pillars, perceive that the grace that was given unto me They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the what?
Circumcision.
Only that they, only they would, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. God told Paul to remember the poor. Peter now is asking to remember the poor. That's why when Paul said, hey, whenever I get there, take up the collection, I don't want this going on when I'm there. Get the collection done, put it over there, we're getting on with business. That type of thing. But think about that for a minute. James, Cephas, and John. And they unto the who? Paul was going to go to heathen, and who was they going to go to?
Churches.
This same James wrote this book that we're talking about, James. So you think James would write and be a rebel and rebel against authority of God that was as a pillar of the church, the kingdom church, would write to Gentiles in the kingdom ages to come?
Not in this book.
You're shaking your head no.
He's writing for words. Fit,
yes. So James is over here after they meet and all this stuff. He writes this over here in ages to come to explain to them about what you got to do. Reproof in your behavior because you're not taking care of your brother over here. In this tribulation period over here, they're going to have somebody to really take care of them. Now, you think we're going through tribulations now, you know, gas prices and housing market, whatever case may be, stock market, whatever case may be, that ain't nothing what these guys are going to do.
That's true.
And you know what? They're going to lean on each other. So what we're getting back to James, written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, they got some problems over there that they're going to go to, okay? I just wanted to bring those two things up to let you know they're in the circumcision group. James is. Hebrews is in the circumcision group. What's after James? What's the next book?
Peter.
Go to 1st and 2nd Peter. For Peter, an apostle. Go to 1st Peter. And it's very interesting that Bible right here that I have, the Word of God, wrote James, Cephas, and John. You got James, Peter, and John in your Bible.
Same order.
Amazing. Only God could do that.
Amen.
Oh, what was Peter's last name there?
Cephas.
that's just a little something to think about. Peter over here, Cephas here. Peter. It's all right. Peter, an apostle of who?
Jesus Christ.
To the saints of the gospel, the grace of God in Massillon, Ohio, Stark County, and beyond.
He was mentioned there.
To the what?
Strangers
scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and what's that? Bethany. Who are the strangers scattered throughout the provinces of Turkey here?
Jews.
You sure?
Yes, he's right, dude.
Yeah.
Well, then, wasn't Peter the first pope?
No.
Wasn't Peter
say that.
Go to Rome and establish the church?
No.
And everybody's followed him, the universal church? They say that, don't they? Wasn't Peter the one with the keys? He had the keys to the kingdom?
To the kingdom.
To heaven and hell? The same people in James 1:1 that was scattered abroad, that is the nation who?
Israel.
If you doubt that, go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And get Exodus 19. Uh, First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, at what point in God's word did he ever call you
Never.
A chosen generation?
Never.
What point did he ever say to you, you as part of a royal priesthood?
Never.
At what point did he ever call you, us, even the United States of the offended, I mean America, did he ever call a holy nation?
Never.
Now, I've been called peculiar.
Not by God.
Not by God. But Paul calls us a peculiar people, a peculiar... But I've also been called special ed. But anyway, if you have any doubt, look at verse 9, and where did I say to go?
Exodus.
Verse 19, verse 5.
Chapter 19, verse 5.
You got to see this. Everybody there? Now, who wrote the book of Exodus?
Moses.
He wrote the first five books, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we talk about Moses?
The lawgiver.
He was the deliverer, he was the law, he was the redeemer, he was the everything to nation Israel. They looked up to that man. And he told them, now therefore, verse 5, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is who?
Mine.
Who does this earth belong to?
Israel.
God is his. Okay, now who's the God of this world? Who's running the show out there right now?
It's Satan.
But who's it belong to?
God.
And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words that they shall speak unto the children of
Israel.
Got that? That's not the body of Christ, guys. That's not Titus chapter 2, verse 14. So, if you have any doubt who he's talking to there, that's the same thing that Moses said right here. People that First Peter is writing to are not the Gentiles. It's not the body of Christ. Those books are not for you and I. It's for our learning. All the scriptures, right? All the Bible is for us, but not all of it's what?
To
you. That's hard for people to understand sometimes. They are Israel. They are circumcision believers, members of the kingdom church with a kingdom hope. In fact, the gospel taught in the book of Hebrews is the kingdom gospel. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll try to get down. We'll get through Peter right quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. Where did I say? 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What would you say the hope of the people in 2 Peter is? In that verse right there.
Everlasting kingdom.
Everlasting kingdom. to get into an everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does verse 12 say? Wherefore, I will not be Last night I went over that and I pushed that speak so I could hear it speak and I still mess it up. Thank you guys. Y'all are my dictionary. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. You want to remember that this passage, because 2 Peter is the last book Peter writes and is written in light of the change in the program over here and that has been ministered from the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had some things, right? And now it's something different over here. It is written to the circumcision saints. And that is Israel. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their what?
Own lusts.
This book has to do with the last days of prophecy, and it has to do with them carrying out the program that was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth, and by the 12 apostles. It has to do with the ministry committed by Christ to the 12, and by them, the believers over there. The middle wall partition is back up, and Israel is back in top of the program there. Remember? Did you ever forget about them?
Yeah.
And when those little flock was saved over here, and they was falling, and a new dispensation was coming in, he didn't forget about that promise. You think God forgot about our promise? That he's secured us and saved us from the wrath to come?
No.
No, he hasn't. That it's going to be in fruition. Now, he mentioned the last days there, right? You see that last days. Get 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Acts chapter 2. You think there's a last days for the body of Christ?
No.
Yes.
Well, you think there are last days for a prophecy program?
Mm-hmm.
Now, think the last days is what, you hear what Peter said? Scoffers. You think there are going to be people over here who's going to try to change their mind and get them caught up in the worldly works program over here? Last days. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 2? Now, Peter's last days, and what I'm going to do is just show you quickly what Peter's last days and Paul's last days. Both of them talks about last days. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And Peter standing up with 11 makes how many?
12.
Where's Paul at?
Not there.
So that should tell you something too. Lift up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and ye all that dwell in Stark County, Ohio, and beyond, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for this are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. Now what's the third hour of the day back then?
9 a.m.
9 o'clock in the morning. If you're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, you got a bad problem. Now they probably was doing things in there that seemed like they was drunk. That's why he brought it up. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet what?
Joel.
Hey, he's going to say this is that. So he's got authority through the scriptures studying the book of Joel and saying, this is what's going on. This is what Joel was writing about. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and the old men
dream dreams.
And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall what?
Prophesy.
Now, did that happen in Acts chapter 2 of Pentecost in the upper room? Did they speak in tongues? Did they prophesy? Did they do exactly what Joel said?
Uh-huh.
Then these are the last days, and you got people saying we need to get back to Pentecost right now. And you got people believing that Pentecost is where they were saved, but look what else does it say. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord have come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall what?
Be saved.
Did that happen?
No.
So how in the world can you be at Pentecost, and how in the world do you want to get back to the days of Pentecost unless you want that to happen?
Time travel.
You know, time travel. But don't let that disturb you. It didn't happen, and it has not happened. It's just like the Lord in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, when the Lord did the same when he was leaving out the verse when he talked about, Luke chapter 4. There's certain things that has to take place, and if people talk about we're in the last days of prophecy, they're in error. But he says in Luke chapter 4,
verse 18,
And Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there he went out of the fame of him through all of the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news, right? He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, he was doing, to preach the deliverance to the captive, he was there, and recover the sight of the blind, he was laying hands on them, and they received their sight, and to set liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And what's next verse say?
He closed the book.
And he gave it to the minister, and they sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Mm-hmm. And he said to this, and he began to say unto them, this day in this scripture fulfill your ears. There's something he left off there. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 61,
mm-hmm.
And Isaiah, you know what it says?
It says it brought on the second coming.
The wrath, the vengeance is coming. So what has been postponed there?
The day of vengeance.
Okay, the wrath has been postponed. So don't think it's an abnormal. Peter said this is that. Well, if this is that in Acts chapter 2, words of smoke and the fire and vengeance of... You with me? Now that's the last days. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, if Lord Jesus Christ said exactly what Isaiah was reading, that wrath would have came.
If he would have quoted the whole
thing. If he would have quoted, because he said it was fulfilled in your ears.
Right.
Where did I say go?
2
Timothy. Okay. This know also. Now, who's Paul writing to?
Saved individuals.
That the last days that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of men. You see that going on?
Oh, yes.
Then he closed the book and said, praise God, hallelujah.
No.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such what? Turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captivity, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now he gives an example. Now that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. But look, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecution I endure, but out of them all the Lord what? Delivered me. Yea, and all that live shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall what?
Wax worse and worse.
Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now what are you going to do about this? Is the Lord going to stop right now and take you out of here?
No.
How are you going to overcome what he just said? But continue in thou things which I was learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he tells Timothy, thou from a child hast known the Holy Spirit, Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise until salvation through faith, which is what?
In Christ Jesus.
Then he goes on to say, all Scriptures are given by inspiration and profit for doctrine. But look, what salvation? It's going to take you from 1 to 6. So Paul's last days, and what Peter's last days. Peter's last days that we just read over in Peter is talking about the last days of prophecy over here. Paul's last days talking about, hey, these last days, men's going to be this. Is it still happening after almost 1970 years?
Sure is.
Would that also be the last days of the times of the Gentiles?
I don't know if you could say that, what you're talking about when the fullness of the times of the Gentiles has come in.
Yeah.
But right now, the last days, Paul's looking at his last days is right here. It's already happening. You know, he's getting ready to die. And it's gotten worse and worse. He says it's going to wax worse and worse. But how do you overcome that?
Study the Scriptures.
Did you not? We do not read, but continue in thy things which I have learned and hast assured, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
It's the only hope we got.
If you stay the course in this evil world out there, stay the course through your apostle, special apostle that was given the revelation of the mystery from the glorified. You can overcome that stuff out there. You can take these dull glasses off and open up your eyes. Jake about said I today. I'm glad he says eyes, because he said about punched one out, you know. The Bible says eyes of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's both of them. It also says, it talks about an eye, have a good eye on this, you know. But the eyes of understanding, how can we overcome what's going on? It looks bad out there, don't it? You know, I think maybe Jim and I was talking this week, if you don't have some good stuff to listen to. If you sit there on that TV and turn on that prophecy preachers, you know, or reading some stuff that's not pertaining to you, it's okay to read that. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't have the right doctrine or renewing your mind, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've got a ritual in the mornings. And some of it's listen to, not world reports, but listen to a certain guy that I get certain information throughout the world. Well, that can upset me. There's days I get up feeling great, happy, go lucky guy, driving down the road, and then I hear this, all this stuff's going on in this world and how you can overcome it and how you may not overcome it. And you're like, by 8 o'clock when my wife calls, I'm like, you know, I just want to go back home and cover my head up. But I've done got 4 hours.
Quit listening to it.
Well, the thing is, what do you renew your mind to?
Scriptures.
You know, scriptures.
This is why in Ephesians he says stand, and he tells you what to stand in.
Stand and withstand.
According to the grace of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we do that and line ourselves up, yeah, it's still going to be there.
Sure.
And listen, I would love nothing more for all of us to get in that closet and cover it, shut the door. We have all the food and water and raiment and all that stuff we need. And just be happy, and just we're looking at each other like, are you not going to comb your hair today? You know, are you going to wear them same socks? Did you not bring enough clothes and raiment?
You know,
we'd be picking at each other, right? You know,
we need a fallout shelter.
We need a fallout. We need a garden. We need a community. No, I know people did that in Virginia.
Yeah,
they bought a whole community, trailers and houses, and they all lived there. Yeah, in Virginia. And the next thing you know, he don't preach Ella King James Bible no more. He don't believe this stuff. And it just like went crazy. So anyway, what I'm getting at is, you have the mind of Christ. And when Peter and James, we just went over, they're writing to these people over here. They're going to take those books after we're gone. They're going to take those books, open it up. They're going to be Bible believers. They're going to be preachers over our preaching out of that book saying, this is that. And they're going to say the last days, and they're going like, ooh, it is the last days. If you're over here, wouldn't that be the last days? Or coming toward the last days, right?
You'll see it.
Any questions and comments before we close? Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for so much in our life. We thank you for the word of God rightly divided. We thank you for the authority that you have given us to speak and clearly and through your word. And we also thank you for the saints here that are here willing and learning and taking it out to the streets and throughout our area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in. And if you want to help contribute or donate, there is a donate button on our website, www.dispensationgracebiblechurch.org, and our YouTube channel and stuff. But anyway, we'd love to come for you to come and see us. Until next week.